It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The outcome of the U.S. election is still unclear, but for the moment, stock markets are in the green. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Votes are still being counted in key battleground states today as President Trump mounts legal challenges in four states. And while markets tend to prefer clear-cut outcomes, investors are holding their nerve despite the unclear picture. U.S. stocks yesterday notched their best day after Election Day performance, and that's helping to boost shares in Asia and Europe this morning. Jim McCormick, Global Head of Desk Strategy at NatWest Markets, explains why.
The big concern about a Democratic sweep, meaning obviously Biden winning and the Democrats taking the Senate, was what that might mean for tax and for the regulatory backdrop. And so taking the Democratic Senate out of the equation lowers the probability of higher taxes and more regulation.
And there's something in it for global investors, too, isn't there? We saw shares in Hong Kong notch the biggest gains in the Asian session. The Hang Seng was up nearly 3%. Does that perhaps signal the prospect of more sanctions on officials there from the Trump administration would decrease, obviously, with a Biden victory?
Yeah, I think what's been quite interesting, if you look at the market reaction, is that Asia has taken the prospect of a Biden presidency very positively. So you see that, obviously, in the stocks. You saw it in the Chinese currency. And I suppose at the margin, that probably makes sense. I think you'll have an administration that is perhaps a little bit less hawkish on China, but I wouldn't imagine that you'll have a full reversal in terms of the U.S. approach to China in the coming years.
Now, there have been hopes for more stimulus both in the U.S. and abroad. Here on this side of the world, the Bank of England today unleashed another almost $200 billion into the economy. Are we back to depending on monetary policy for economic support?
Yeah, listen, I think the big bond market story this week is that without the Democratic sweep, you expect less fiscal policy. And with the Bank of England, it's a reminder that central banks are still there. I'd push back a little bit on the concept that we're shifting all the way back to monetary, because frankly, there's not a lot of room or ammunition left in monetary policy. And so fiscal policy is going to still have to do the heavy lifting. And even within the Bank of England decision, more QE is happening at a time when the Bank of England recognizes that the Treasury is going to be issuing more gilts.
And the Federal Reserve has the same sort of conundrum on its hands, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think the Federal Reserve tonight will opt to be very quiet, because clearly the election is the most important issue this week, and it's still not decided. But if and when you see more fiscal policy coming in the U.S., you're probably going to see the Fed having to buy more bonds as well.
Jim McCormick at NatWest Markets, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Checking the numbers now, the latest decision from the Bank of England this morning is sending the British pound higher against the U.S. dollar. Meanwhile, the Pan-European Stock 600 Index is up 0.9% as key benchmarks across the region rise. U.S. stocks look to open solidly higher on Wall Street this morning. The tech-heavy NASDAQ is poised to continue its rally with futures up more than 2%. With uncertainty, though, about the future of environmental policy in the U.S., oil prices are slightly lower, while safe haven gold is up nearly 1%. Today, England joins other parts of the UK in tightening movement restrictions to prevent the country's health system from being overwhelmed by a fresh surge in COVID-19 infections. The daily number of deaths here have reached the highest level since May. So for the next 4 weeks, pubs, restaurants, gyms, and non-essential shops are now closed. The BBC's Jane Frances Kelly has more.
Supermarkets remain open and there is no explicit ban preventing them from selling non-essential items. But the government has stated people should only buy basic necessities in store, such as food and medicine. When Wales banned supermarkets from selling non-essential items during its lockdown, the government was forced to publish a list to stop confusion over what constituted essential. People were permitted to buy baby clothes and stationery, but not homeware. In England, non-essential shops will still be allowed to sell items online. I'm the BBC's Jane Frances Kelly for Marketplace.
Well, toilet paper stockpiling made headlines during the spring lockdown, so the question this time around is, are consumer products companies better prepared? Kimberly Clark makes the UK's best-selling toilet paper. It's called Andrex here, Cottonelle in the US. The company's UK boss, Ori Ben-Shai, told me as we head into our second lockdown, 100 million toilet rolls are standing by.
We are working very, very closely with retailers to maintain higher level of inventories at the retailers. The biggest challenge is to just get the product fast enough throughout the chain down to the shelf. It's not really to have enough product. So what would help is part of it is have more inventory in the stores itself or at the retailers, distribution centers, and with us as well. And then getting the right capacity to just ship it down the chain fast enough so it can stay as available as possible at all stages.
It's a balancing act, though, at least financially, I imagine, for a company like you. Are you worried that if people stock up now and they have enough for the next few months, they won't be buying any over the next period? So how does that affect your cash flow? How do you plan for that, what future spending will be like?
Real consumption is not really going up, or it's going up to a limited extent. Fundamentally, there is a lot of stocking going on. And yeah, we have to plan for that. We are trying to assume at any point in time what would happen in the next few months. There is so much volatility and we are modeling and changing our assumptions much more frequently over the last few months than we usually are.
Are you seeing sales like you did during the first lockdown? Are you noticing that people are stockpiling more than they otherwise would have at this time of year?
Yeah, there is a spike, though not to the extent that we've seen first time around. It seems like people are a little bit less stressed than they were. They obviously went through the experience. They saw that product is eventually available. But yeah, you are seeing behavior of stocking up to an extent.
Ori Ben-Shai from Kimberly Clark, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
So lockdown supply and demand is an interesting thing. My house was in need of more toilet paper last weekend, and the smallest option available online was a 42-pack. So the problem now is where to store it. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdal. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate minority leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? Don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.